evening, friends, in the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to tonight's Maundy Thursday Saviors. May we have a moment of silence as we gather our thoughts, humbling ourselves before God this moment. Come, let us join together in our call to worship. God is love. In Him there is ceaseless love. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so, friends, tonight we continue with the journey of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. The journey from the supper table to the cross. From the cross to Easter dawn. We are followers in His way, exploring His truth, encountering His life. Come, let us sing together from our hymnals 182, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Come, let us pray. Almighty Father, whose Son Jesus Christ has taught us that what we do for the least of our brethren, we do also for Him. Give us the will to be the servants of others as He was the servant of all, who gave up His life and died for us, yet is alive and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. God shows great love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith. All-merciful God, our Maker and Judge, we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved You with our whole heart. we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Amen. Come now, let us find our John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, and I'm reading from the New International Version. And when we have found it, it reads as follows. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, although not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." This is the word of the Lord. We're going to sing just two verses of the hymn, "When My Love to Christ Grows Weak." Come, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. We have read from John's narrative of the Last Supper. Jesus' public ministry and teaching has or had come to an end. He now spends last hours with his disciples. It is, as I said, the occasion of the Last Supper, and the incident that we read about is the washing of the disciples' feet, which only John writes about. Jesus willingly made himself a slave. That is, one who serves. There are many interpretations to Jesus' act of washing his disciples' feet. But this evening I just wish to look at love beyond measure. And my points will be servanthood, selfless love, and the command. When the Bible refers to servant, it also refers to a slave. Especially in the New Testament. It refers to someone who serves another. It can be any duty, and servants or slaves are bound to their masters for as long as they live. If I invite someone over for dinner, and as soon as they arrive and I offer to wash their feet, that would be awkward. They would be shocked. However, during Jesus' time, foot washing was an expected hospitality. This tradition has many historical foundations. E.g., you find that in Genesis 18, verse 4, when Abraham was sitting under the oaks at Mamre, and then there were these guests whom we later find out that it was an angel of God, or God revealing self in the form of this man who were going to Sodom and Gomorrah. But then Abraham promises to freshen them up, but he starts by washing their feet. And another foundation of the foot washing is ritualistic, in that priests would wash their hands and feet before going to the altar. You find that in Exodus chapter 30, verses 20-21. And when we look at the times and the places in Jesus' time, looking at the condition of the places or the terrain at Jesus' time, they shared roads with animals, e.g. donkeys, oxen, horses, you name it. And so you can imagine the mess such animals would live on the road. And apart from that, they didn't have any tarmac, so it was just the roads. And over and above that, they didn't have your boots, you know, that would cover your feet. They wore sandals. And so even if you had left your place, having bathed and clean, by the time you reach your host's place, your feet would be dirty. And so your feet would then be washed by an inferior person. And as usual, slaves who are of no value in society would be given the job of, in fact, not even a job, it's a duty, you know, of washing feet, because slaves were called the people of the towel. So on this occasion, Jesus, as John tells us, wrapped a towel around his waist. Then he began, you know, taking on this duty on himself. He washed the dirtiest feet. Jesus, being the host at this meal, serves his guests in a way they never anticipated. Peter tried to protest, but Jesus stated that if he refuses, he would have no part in him. Jesus did then, and still today, he reaches the smelliest and dirtiest parts as he kneels down to wash his disciples, as he kneels down to wash us, his followers. He continues to look for our smelliest parts. You know, those parts that sometimes we seek to conceal because we feel that they're stinking. But Jesus seeks even to clean those. Let us therefore allow our Savior to wash us from every sin that makes us smell, that makes us to be dirty. As you hear, Jesus says that all of you are clean, but one. And so, in this act, Jesus shows his selfless love. John tells us that Jesus knew that his hour to depart the earth and go to the Father had come. However, Jesus was concerned about his disciples. He didn't want to think, or let me say that he did not put his focus on what awaited him outside Jerusalem. But he not only took the time to be with his disciples, preparing them for what lay ahead, but he also demonstrated the full extent of his love. The English Standard Version reads, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That is verse 1, which we have read. He loved them to the end. This means that he loved them until the conclusion of his earthly life and ministry. He loved them in fulfillment of all that was there to love, to show his love completely without any conditions, without any reservations. And he loved them perfectly in word and deed. Well, we know the saying that says, actions speak louder than words. But sometimes even the actions are misunderstood. Either the one shown love in action or those around him or her may misunderstand. Remember in Bethany, when Jesus was anointed by Mary with an expensive perfume, Judas, yes, the same Judas who is to betray him, objected. Unfortunately, in a similar fashion, Peter objected to being washed by Jesus. But Jesus said that if you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later on you will understand. Jesus loved his disciples to the end. Even Peter was going to deny him. He loved even Judas, was going to betray him. This teaches us to love. To love others no matter what. After all, love is a doing word. It's a verb. The phrase having loved, when I looked it up from the original language, that is Greek, in which this was written, it is agapesas. That comes from the word agape. As we know, we have different forms of love. You have eros, which is love, romantic love. And then you have phileo, which is brotherly love. And then you also have storge or storge, which is familial love. But then again, you have agape, which is sacrificial love, love that has no conditions. This is the kind of love, selfless love that Jesus loved, though he knew that among them there was one who was going to betray him into the hands of the priests, and that eventually he will be crucified. Yet Jesus loved. How wonderful. And that makes me think, and that makes me wonder, how far are you willing? How far am I willing to love those who hurt me? Will I have reservations? Or will I just love them and seek only that is the best for them? And lastly, the command. Today is Maundy Thursday. And the word Maundy is from the Latin word which means command. In Luke's narrative of the Last Supper, we find that there was an argument among the disciples, among them, as to who of them was to be considered the greatest. That is in Luke chapter 22, verse 27, where Jesus responds saying, I am among you as one who serves, which is the action that Jesus did as he washed their feet. Jesus gave them an example of love and servanthood. There was a paradigm shift from what is considered to be classed, the superior and the inferior, the stronger and the weak, the greater and the small. But Jesus says, he who wants to be greatest amongst you should be the least of all. And he who wants to be the master should be the one who serves. But Jesus further says, I've left an example for you that you should do as I've done for you. We are commanded, friends, to follow this example. We are to wash each other's feet. That is humility and service, irrespective of social status, background, or ethnicity, or ideological viewpoint in life. We are to imitate Christ, who, though in nature was God, yet he humbled himself and took a form of a servant. In human nature, he was born. And in just a few hours, he was going to die the death of humiliation, so that me and you can find honor in Christ. May find honor through Christ and be the righteousness of God. Jesus knew about Judas' betrayal. He knew about Peter's denial which was on the way. He did not shame them. He just loved them. Sometimes all that people around us need is our love. And we do not need to even say, this is how much I love you. This is how I love you. But they will experience our love through how we are in their presence. And you know, sometimes some of us fall into sin. Christ invites us when we are deeply stained and in sin to kneel down and wash one another. Why do we celebrate when one falls? Instead, like Christ, we are to love. And we are to wash one another's feet, serving one another, just as Christ has served us. Christ loving his own until the very end. He did not choose. May we also love just as much as Christ has loved us. Amen. Let us pray. Servant God, on this night, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. May we follow his example of love and save us. Grant that our love for the other be not only in word, but let it be love in action. God of love, hear our prayer. God of love, on this night, Jesus loved his friends to the very end. We pray for all those who are surrounded by darkness in their lives, victims of gender-based violence, those who are rejected and unloved. May they experience your love and in your comfort find hope and salvation. God of grace, hear our prayer. Gracious and compassionate God, remember your people, especially those infected with the coronavirus. We pray that in your mercy, a cure for your people, for your afflicted people, be found. God of compassion, hear our prayer. God, our provider, you feed us with the bread of life. And lift for us the cup of salvation. We pray for continued sustenance of provision for your people in our country and the world during this time of lockdown. God of abundance, hear our prayer. Merciful God, on this, the night that Jesus was betrayed, as we commit ourselves to following his example of love and save us, teach us humility. God of grace, hear our prayer. On this night, Jesus prayed for those who would come to believe through the disciples' message. As we take up the mission of the church, renew our zeal. God of grace, hear our prayer. Let us have a moment of silence as we bring ourselves before God. We have come now to the end of our service. And may Jesus Christ, who for our sake became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, keep you and strengthen you this night and forever. Amen. If you have time, friends, listen to the song. how deep the Father's love.